The Dish, The Wire, Pandora, Three Blind Dates, The Place on Lifetime, Come As You Are. And I booked it. I don't know why. And...
Hey everybody, this is Ash from the Rated NA Podcast here with an exclusive interview recorded live at San Diego Comic-Con 2018. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on iTunes and give us a follow on Twitter at NerdAppropriate.
How's it going?
It is going crazy.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners?
I am Julie Nathanson, and we are here live at San Diego Comic-Con.
It's so exciting. You're actually my first one of these this year, so.
Come on now.
It is. I know. I'm starting off nice and slow. It's been great.
So far, I've been described as the slow start to your Comic-Con.
It is.
I kind of want to ramp it up. Juice that up a little bit. Yeah.
So, today was sort of family day for me, and so I was excited that you messaged, and tomorrow and Friday and Saturday and even Sunday are kind of bonkers for me.
So the fact that you remember the days of the week,
I know,
at all, regardless of their accuracy,
yeah,
dynamite.
So it is San Diego Comic-Con 2018, and why are you here this year?
Nothing better to do.
Me
I just got
too.
Bored, and I was like, "Where are most of the people?"
Right.
It does become
very much a reunion of sorts every year.
Is.
So you come and hang out and see familiar faces. And I was just saying, like, as we were walking up to our little secret spot here in the Omni, I've only briefly met you, maybe I don't know, a long time ago, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Similar acquaintances over the years, and so now we actually get to hang out and kind of get to know each other a little bit, which is exciting.
We're sitting on the floor.
I know. I have a weird my memory is very weird for when I first meet people, and I think there's a dog hair on this. I have dogs.
I do not so it's definitely yours.
So the first time I think I ever met you was on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you were giving me restaurant recommendations when I was in LA.
That's true.
Yeah.
I remember that.
It was a long time ago.
And I remember having vetted that you would be an okay person to talk to on Twitter because you had been communicating with my friend Allie Hillis.
Yes. Okay.
So that's how I knew you were okay.
So really quick story, and we'll get to you in a second, with Allie Hillis. Allie Hillis was actually the first person that I ever did an audio interview with. So I was a school teacher before. And then I started doing Nerd Appropriate with friends, and started doing Nerd Appropriate more and more and more. And I kind of built up the courage to do audio interviews. And she was the first that I ever did. And she gave me she was incredibly sweet after the interview was over and said, you know, you're actually kind of okay at this. And gave me a little bit, and she gave me a little bit of confidence to do it more. Now I've done, you know, a billion of them. But yeah, she's wonderful. I still communicate with her all the time. And she's really good people. So
she's a great girl. We've known each other for a really, really long time.
Yeah.
Long before either of us got into voiceover.
Yeah.
We both lived in New York, and we were connected through a social circle.
Oh, that's crazy.
So when, you know, we both found our way out here and both found our way into video games, at some point I was like, Allie Hillis? I know her.
That's crazy.
We reconnected. It was great.
That's really, really cool. So let's jump back then, and we'll do some
current
stuff.
Like, why am I really here?
Well, no. Yeah. Well, why are you really here? Yeah. And we'll start with, well, how did you get into voice acting? Because your list of credits is absolutely insane, and you have some really awesome stuff coming up that I'm very excited for. I played Warcraft so much. My wife almost left me. 2004 to 2008, just so much Warcraft. So you have some Warcraft stuff coming up. But how did you first find your way into this wacky world of voice acting?
This wacky world found its way to me because I turned an insult into opportunity, which is kind of how I do things most of the time when I'm in my best self. Otherwise, I'm just a freaking mess. I started out as an on-camera actor, and I was on a soap opera back in the day. And at the time, no one bothered to tell us, don't read the comments. So I was like, I want to see what the fans think of me. This is great. This internet seems cool. Let's check it out. And someone had said, she's real pretty and all, but I have to turn off the volume because it's like Alvin and the Chipmunks have invaded my living room.
Oh, ouch.
And I was like, huh. okay, so first of all, screw you. Second of all, I'm going to go make money on that shit. Like, that sounds like a great career. Yeah. And I, you know, I'd been trained as an actor forever, and I'm trained actually as an opera singer of all things. So I have, you know, vocal training and I have acting training. And so I went to my agents. I'm still with the same agency today, CESD.
Oh, cool.
And I was there for on-camera commercials. But I said, hey, can I meet with the voiceover department? Because somebody just thinks I'm supposed to be a cartoon. So let's see if that's a thing.
Right, right.
And they were kind enough to meet with me, and they sent me on my first audition, which was a promo account for Lifetime Television.
Okay.
Saying things like, The Dish, The Wire, Pandora, Three Blind Dates, The Place on Lifetime, Come As You Are. And I booked it.
And I
don't know why.
Because who can do that, right?
As I pull it out.
Yeah.
And it ended up being a gig that it actually was ongoing.
Okay.
So it was weekly for a year. It paid my rent.
Oh, awesome.
Like for a year, that one
That's
gig.
That's fantastic.
And it was really, really fun. And I picked it up very quickly, again, because I had the training behind it.
Right.
And a few years later, I just stopped doing on camera. I had some other opportunities. I've also been a writer in the industry, so I was staffed as a writer on an NBC show. So it was really easy to recognize it was time to
let go. It gives you a different perspective
go.
When you're acting as well, when you can write, and you kind of, when you see a line that maybe you may need to modify slightly.
You know, I try to stay in my role. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm hired as an actor, I really try to just stay in that place. And if somebody wants me to mess around with the lines and improvise, I'll do that. But I don't know, I guess I try to
stay respectful.
Yeah, and stay respectful because I know what it's like on the other side.
Right, absolutely.
But I ended up, you know, I dropped on camera and as a matter of fact, when I got my contract for the NBC writing gig, I was already on the Zeta Project, which was a DC Warner Brothers property, the first animated series that I did as a regular. And so we wrote into my contract that I could leave every Tuesday from my staff writing meeting and from my writer's room and drive to Burbank from Santa Monica and do my record.
Oh,
and
awesome.
Then go back to work.
That's really
because
cool.
Because it was already there. So I've integrated those two and many other things into my world. But voiceover just kind of...
That's super exciting.
I feel like it found me.
It's interesting. I mean, one of the things I like to ask actors is, how do you feel over the years voice acting has changed in terms of how it's received within the community, the video game community and the animation community? Do you feel like you guys are getting a little bit more respect than you used to?
You know, it's funny. I felt for a while watching the trends that that it was something that, you know, me and my friends did, and it was really fun.
Right.
And then it expanded and expanded and expanded. Now there are all these wonderful, wonderful new actors coming into the fore, and there's more and more content. And then there was this wave of celebrity casting, which I think elevated the craft of voice acting. I think audiences went like, oh, that's a real thing. If we're going to go see, you know, this famous person, that must be a real thing. So those who hadn't already, I think, been indoctrinated to this particular art.
Right.
But I was watching The Last Unicorn, of all things.
I remember
recently.
That. I watched it so much as a kid. It used to depress me so much.
Well, yeah, it's not, you know, it's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
But it's loaded with celebrities, with stars.
You know, I don't remember the voice cast of Last Unicorn, but I would watch
Mia
that
Farrow.
And Fire and Ice and
I think
Wizards.
It's Mia Farrow.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
Who's the Last Unicorn?
Unless
I'm having a Comic-Con, you know, memory lapse, but I believe that's right. And so I was thinking, you know, watching this, that like that's been in place. It just wasn't at a higher commercial level.
Right.
But it is, you know, it's interesting. I think, sure. I mean, also, I'm in such a... We're here at Comic-Con, right?
Right.
So to say, like, hey, you can ask someone on the street, did they think voice actors have anything to say? Like, like, yeah, we love games and animation. But I don't know necessarily outside the bubble.
I've noticed, you know, I definitely live within the bubble, as you're probably aware. but I've definitely noticed over the years, I mean, we're coming up on year 8 of doing our audio show. And I feel like even since we first started it, maybe it's just because, you know, more organizations are recognizing voice acting and you are starting to see some performers get a little bit more of a spotlight on them, I think, outside of the bubble. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's changing. I'm not a voice actor, but I just kind of feel like, as someone who's like, you know, I'm using finger quotes here, a games journalist. Really? What does that mean?
I mean, I have to say, I bear witness to the fact that you actually did use air quotes. Yeah, to be fair, only with one hand, because you are still holding a microphone.
That is true.
So I just want you to know it's kind two of like hands. A half well, look, air just, quote. No, I'm gonna diminish your air quote by
it is
half.
A half air quote. That, I guess that yeah. makes my air quotes seem a little less valuable. So that's good. But yeah, I feel like you guys, first of all, Allie probably told you this, but I'm like such a fan of what you do, and you guys elevate the games that I play to the next level. And I feel like it's changed so much since the early days, you know, like games like Resident Evil and like the games in the 90s that I grew up playing, and like that just had, you know, someone in the studio that was like, you know, a janitor or something doing voice acting, to where it is now. And you guys do these beautiful performances. Are there any performances that you've done that you're really particularly proud of, that like you would like want etched on your tombstone, or just like you want to be known for that?
Wow.
I know that's kind of hard to pick one.
Oh, it's so hard and morbid at the same time.
Most of my questions are hard and morbid. Let's change the name of the podcast.
Hard and morbid. No, all the hits you get are terrible. I really fear for your next Google searches.
Yeah.
Hardandmorbid.com.
That'd be bad.
Yeah, oh, God, it's terrible. My brain has bad images now.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Sorry, listeners. Don't Google that.
It's okay. Don't look inside my brain.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's going to sound like such a new agey answer. I don't think I want a performance to be the thing that people remember about me.
Okay, that's a great answer.
I feel like I would like to be remembered as a force for good.
Oh, so okay. Now we're friends. We were friends before, but now we're like super friends, because that's honestly like, sorry listeners, I'm going to go off on a rant here, but like before I work in video games now. Before I did that, I was a teacher, and I honestly felt when I was teaching, I was kind of being a little bit of a force for good. Mm-hmm. So it was hard to walk away from, because I actually felt like at the end of the day, I was exhausted and thrashed every single day, but I also felt like I was doing something to kind of make the world a better place. So what is your force for good?
I mean,
you can do a million different things. I'm just
I mean, I guess, first of all, as a human person, I try to walk around looking to connect with people on an authentic level.
Right.
And I'm really high energy, and I always have been. My high school yearbook said I was like most likely to turn cartwheels in the parking lot.
Okay.
Okay. So that's always part of who I am. So high energy and really loving to connect with people. And I guess I try to connect with kindness. I'm looking, you know, for ways of getting to know people. I like to stay curious. Being a force for good for me can be as much as how you show up as a person just one-on-one, as, you know, as much as it can be, you know, creating something that makes people happy or spreading a message.
Right.
Just general positivity. And you know, that I always say, like, that there's a recommitment to that every day. Right. And I'll think it's possible to just sort of wake up and be, you know, positive and optimistic. I'm not every day, right?
But it's hard to be all the time.
Yeah,
it's draining. It's like you have almost like a battery level with positivity, and eventually you just get tapped out. Like last night, walking around with the floor holding a toddler, like by the end of the night, I was like, I want to be a joyful person.
Well, yeah. I mean, I also feel like it's not about being necessarily like a joyful person all the time, because then that can be a disingenuous, right?
Like
it can turn into sort of this false show of glee, which is, you know, Facebook.
Right. Yeah.
I just started thinking, like, that's what social media sort of is.
It totally is,
but,
absolutely.
But I guess it's trying to always be moving back toward that light space, right?
Yeah.
I can be reactive. I can get angry at stuff. I mean, I snap. I curse like a trucker. I'm a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's actually normal, but, you know, but I guess I feel like trying to make sure that I'm focusing on gratitude to bring me back to that core place is really important, you know?
It's an awesome answer. I was expecting you to be like, Far Cry. Next question.
I'm proud of what I did on Far Cry. I loved working on that game, and it was the deepest I think I've ever been asked to go with a character in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Jess's history and the trauma that she's faced and the trauma she's facing, and of course her sarcasm, which is coming out of pain. and I really enjoy doing that, and I do. I mean, I feel connected to her. I feel like I dove deep on that character. Mm-hmm. But again, in terms of, you know, I guess how I would want people to see me, mm-hmm. I guess that's different.
Yeah, it is different. Honestly, it's a fantastic answer. Let's shift gears just a little bit, because people listening are going to want to know really what you're doing at Comic-Con. So what are you here promoting? We could talk about this stuff all day.
Oh, like, it's great.
We'll do like a full couple hour one in
a
the future.
Hours.
Yeah,
okay, great.
We have people on for like non-Comic-Con. It's like
we'll settle in.
It's like a couch and we just talk.
We'll yeah, just, yeah. All right, we'll yeah. just talk on a
yeah,
couch.
Yeah, yeah,
that's great.
That's how
yeah.
it goes. Yeah,
this is not a couch.
This
so
is not. We're on the floor.
Yeah, but I like the floor.
We're classy on the floor of the Omni here.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so I am here promoting DC, so Lego DC Supervillains,
yes,
which I'm really excited about. I
yeah.
had played Silver Banshee in Suicide Squad Hell to Pay, which was one of those wonderful Warner Brothers, you know, straight to video.
Yes,
movies.
They do so many of those, and they're all fantastic. They're really
I really
good.
Loved it. It yeah. was a lot of fun. It was a nice, dark, like grindhouse kind of film, mm-hmm. And I, you know, didn't know if I'd be bringing her back at all, and then I got the call that they wanted me to voice Silver Banshee for this game. So I'm really excited. I was just walking on the floor and there are so many different displays with
very cool.
the Lego supervillains, and it looks great.
We saw that last night too, and I just
really
I messaged
fun.
You last night. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I'm going to be in the press room for that,
yeah.
so I'll get to say hi again. And I'm excited for that too.
Yeah.
I've always been a fan of the Lego games, and now that I have a kid, it's mm-hmm. different because he's learning puzzles and learning Lego,
yeah.
so he gets to like watch, build, and help like verbally, you know, build
yeah.
stuff. So I'll definitely be playing through
yeah.
and looking out for you, which will be super fun.
It'll be really fun.
Yeah,
yeah, it's great, and I had a ball doing it, and they were kind enough to invite me to be part of the press and the publicity
yeah.
for it. So I'm doing a panel.
So it's a great group. Who's
yeah.
who's in your group for Lego DC Villains?
For the panel tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
it's Kevin Conroy, Tara Strong,
ridiculous,
me, and
ridiculous,
and Fred Tatasciore.
Also ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's sort of like, you know, the three cool kids, and then like
no,
I don't know what happened.
No, you're one of the cool
somebody
kids.
Somebody canceled. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, for our listeners that don't follow animation that closely, look up those names, look up their credits. You know, if you watch Batman the Animated Series as a kid, like I did, Kevin Conroy. I mean, he's Batman.
Yeah.
Like, there's no better Batman. Like. Ever in the history of Batman than Kevin. So that's kind of slightly intimidating and cool, huh?
That's pretty cool. And I've worked with Tara, you know, of course, it's
yeah.
a relatively small world.
Yeah.
She's, you know, wonderful and
I've interviewed
so much
her a couple
to
times.
Watch.
She's super sweet.
It's
yeah.
really great to watch her in the room too and see her just so seamlessly and it just seems so effortless for her.
Yeah.
The characters that just kind of
I think I've
fall
been
out of her.
In a few panels where she shows up in cosplay and
yeah.
it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'll just be sitting there like, oh, here she is, like
yeah.
dressed as Harley Quinn or
yep.
dressed as whoever.
Yeah.
It is very, very cool.
Super dedicated. And Fred Tatasciore is just one of the most beautiful human beings. I always describe Fred as just a big heart with arms.
Yeah.
That's who he is.
I've only met him briefly in passing, but he's done so many of my favorite video
yeah.
game characters over the years. It's just like his you know, list is ridiculous.
Yeah,
but we're here to talk about you.
Well,
so we have some we have a little bit
spotlight.
Of time. I'm checking the time. I don't want to make you late. So we have silly questions. The first time
yes.
people are on the show for the first time, we ask kind of, we call them lightning round questions.
Okay.
They're goofy.
Okay.
So I apologize ahead of time.
Don't apologize for goofiness.
Goofiness. All right. So the first question is you're trapped on a desert island.
Okay.
A small box washes up on shore of the
uh-huh.
desert. You're alone.
Uh-huh.
I should probably explain this a little better.
I'm alone on a desert island.
You're alone on a desert island.
So I'm not like at a party on a desert
no,
island.
No, it's just you.
Okay.
it's
is there a helicopter on the desert
There's
island?
No helicopter. There's nothing
Am
except
I able
for
to
you.
Teleport?
Not yet. But a small box washes up on shore. What is inside the box?
It is a teleportation device. I don't know what to tell you. I obviously my psychic powers.
All right, next question. That was perfect. Would you get along with a 15-year-old version of yourself?
Absolutely.
You would?
Yeah.
You liked 15-year-old you.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Oh, but you would get along.
Get along.
Would you nurture yourself?
Sure, absolutely.
You would give yourself advice?
Well, she was riddled with anxiety.
Right.
And she hadn't quite bridled the unbridled
right.
energy that I come with today.
Mm-hmm.
But her heart was still really good. And I would totally get along with her. I would, you know, I'd sit her down and tell her some stuff,
right?
But like, I wouldn't kick her off the table.
There you go. That's a good answer. That's it. Tells you a lot about a person. Like, I've done this question a million times. It's one of our go-to kind of ending the podcast questions, but I always tell our listeners, and on my apologies for listeners, because you've heard this several times, I probably wouldn't get along with the 15-year-old version of me, because I was kind of a little angsty back then. And I think, like, you know, in my 20s, I kind of learned a lot about, like, how to be a relatively nice human being. And then teaching kind of taught me how to be a very patient human being. So it was very trials and tribulations of, like, growing up. 15-year-old me, I don't know about that guy. All right, so the next one is, what is the first movie you actually remember seeing in the movie theater?
It's funny. I remember a movie I didn't get to see in the movie theater, which was, I think they were playing, like, The Sound of Music again. And I didn't eat my Whitefish that my stepmom had made. And it was, if I didn't eat it, then I couldn't go see the movie. I don't know why they were playing it again. We were down the shore. And down the shore tells you that I grew up on the East Coast, because we say down the shore. I get made fun of.
Where'd you grow up on the East Coast?
I grew up outside Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Down the shore is the Jersey Shore.
Ah, I got you. Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Star Wars has to be up there. It's funny that it doesn't stick with me.
And here I am
in the business, and I'm not. It's,
yeah.
I don't know why that's not a quick lightning round answer. I feel like that's a rolling thunder answer for me.
A lot of people do remember. Like mine, I think, was Star Trek Wrath of Khan or something like really weird that my parents brought me to that I first remember. They probably brought me to other ones, but that was the first one that really stuck out. So so think about it.
And then send me
a message on Twitter and I'll add it.
We'll wait for the 4-hour couch version.
The 4-hour couch version, absolutely.
Okay,
so this one's also silly. If you could travel forward or backward in time, would you, and where would you go?
I have a sub question for you.
Yes.
Would it affect the space-time continuum?
Paradoxes and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I say no. Let's not mess with the space-time continuum.
And would my past or future self be aware of my new presence from the
ooh,
future?
Ooh. So
or past?
If you, oh man, these are tough questions. You've thought about this before. I was not prepared. You would be aware of your time traveling shenanigans.
Okay.
If you went, say, into the future, you would be aware of the past you.
Yeah. I think I would go into the past, and I think I would check in with myself at a younger age than 15.
Okay.
And I'm not quite sure about the specific content, but I think some reassurance. Because I was such an anxious kid, and I'm still an anxious kid.
Yeah.
You know, but I think there's probably a lot that I've learned as an adult that I'd like to be able to sort of, I don't know, support that child.
That's a really good answer.
More.
I mean, there's something to be said about going back to your past self and giving, like planting a seed in your own mind that could kind of change the way that you develop.
Mm-hmm.
Really weird story. We still have a couple minutes, so I'll just do a segue here.
This is going to be about the time that you went into the past.
I went back to college. I graduated from college, and I went back for teaching. And, like, my first day back, I was a terrible student prior to this one day. And there was, like, this little old man that was sitting at a table all by himself. And I sat down next to him and unloaded my books. And he just started giving me advice about how to take notes and how to, like, do all this, you know, how to be a better student. And
I
remembered it really, really well. I never saw the little old man again. And I always, like, look, I have goosebumps. So nerdy,
totally
right?
Do.
I really do.
It's
and
great.
And I thought about this little old man. I'm like, what if that little old man was like me as a little old man trying to make sure that I didn't fuck up?
Oh my God, I love the story.
Right? And like, I think about
it. I could hear this story all day. I kind of want to hear it 4 more times in a row.
Thanks.
That's
no, it's just funny because you brought that up. I just thought about, you know, weird moments in your life where you meet a person that kind of like, sets you on a path, and from that day forward, I got pretty much straight A's, grad school and everything.
That's
really weird.
That's really, really amazing.
Yeah,
that's
really strange.
Amazing.
And I never saw him again. I went, you know, same table all the time. Yeah. He just like kind of vanished into space time.
That's really beautiful. And it's funny that I don't know if it made you think of this as well. I guess it was because of your other question about the 15-year-old self that right. I was thinking about visiting myself in the past or future. But I guess, you know, there are so many other times in the past that, you know, don't have me in it that I yeah, would yeah. love to sort of explore and see what it was like in a different time. I don't want to visit the future.
Yeah, I don't either.
And it's not because, you know, it's 2018 and the future is terrifying. But I'll throw that out there for you.
Yeah.
But I think because I value curiosity so much mm-hmm. and I like staying curious about the future.
You don't want to spoiler alert. Yeah. You don't want to know what's going to be on the next
which
page,
is,
right?
Which is totally at cross purposes with the anti-anxiety desire, mm-hmm. right? Because anxiety is like a time machine anyway. You're either worried about something in the past or worry about what's going to happen in the future.
Right.
Right. So one would think that the idea would be, well, get me into the future and I'll know what's happening.
Right.
But all that does is solve uncertainty. You end up losing curiosity.
That's a good point. Yeah. I don't think I would do the future either. I would definitely, like I said, I'd go in the past and give myself advice or something to that effect. I think that'd be great. Right. Okay. The last one, because we're almost out of time, is this is now completely double silly because we just had a nice serious conversation.
I want you to know that you have apologized. And your listeners, I hope you guys please go back and check.
How many times have I apologized?
For every question.
Oh,
you've
yeah.
either called it silly or
bad. I need to not
do
that.
And you've said, I'm sorry, for every question.
Yeah, uh-huh. I need to improve those questions.
Well, no, you need to value goofiness. If yeah, they're goofy questions, then let's embrace the goofiness.
I think it's because one of the guys I do the show with gives me a hard time for how stupid my questions are. So I kind of, you know, I'm on the defensive.
I think that judgment is unnecessary.
I agree.
All right, what's
the
last
question
fun,
is,
goofy
fun question
is which we will embrace?
The perfect pizza is one topped with blank. This is a hard question.
It really is. Okay. Plenty of tomato sauce. Please do not skimp on the tomato sauce. It's a very important part of the equation. Regular all mozzarella.
Mm-hmm.
But then I would like there to be, if you don't mind, a little bit of arugula.
Oh, really?
Some lemon juice.
Really?
Salt and pepper.
This is the first one of these I've heard.
A little bit of like really nice extra virgin olive oil.
Sounds good.
And then some roasted tomatoes on top.
That sounds delicious, actually. It's making me very hungry.
Yeah, I just had a Cliff Bar for lunch, so
yeah,
you know.
I hear you. I'm right there with you. Last night we didn't get to eat till almost 11 o'clock, so Comic-Con just is this thing for starvation.
I don't know what it's all about.
All right, Jaleesa, where can folks find you? What do you have coming up that people can look forward to? And then where can folks find you on social media?
Well, let's see. I just released a cover of Amy Mann's song Wise Up. It's a favorite song of mine. And I you can find that if you're interested on SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify. And my website usually has whatever I can keep up to date with information about past projects. In terms of future stuff, I'm really excited about the Lego DC supervillains and some things I, of course, can't talk about.
Yeah,
but I am really, really active on Twitter. I like Twitter a lot.
I do too.
You know, I know there are those who use it for evil and not for good. I try to keep my Twitter account for humor and weird words and kindness mm-hmm. and sometimes voiceover stuff.
Cool.
But it's Julie_Nathanson. It's the same as my Instagram handle, Julie_Nathanson. I am still trying to embrace Instagram a little bit more, so come find me over there too and give me incentive. I have difficulty with it because I'm so much more words than pictures.
Yeah.
But those are two great places to find me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for hanging out. This was great. I'm glad that we've been talking about doing this for years
now. I
know.
It's crazy. Like, it's lovely to chat with you.
Years and years. So thanks again, and we'll talk to you next time.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to our San Diego Comic-Con coverage. As always, you can follow us on Twitter @NerdAppropriate, Facebook/NerdAppropriate, or email us directly, MattScottOrAsh@NerdAppropriate.com. We're going to be at PAX West in September, and we'll be on a number of panels at the show, so keep listening for more information and more details leading up to the event. We hope to see you there.